When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome everybody to Blockbuster Mentality. I'm your host, Ben. Today we have a special guest, probably only important to people from Michigan or hockey fans, but this was just a treat for me to speak with Darren McCarty. He played for the Detroit Red Wings, for the NHL, that's hockey, for those who don't know. But we did talk Kill Bill for you movie fans. So, listen either way, you'll hear Kill Bill stuff. So, we got cut off a little early because his battery died, but it was still a lot of fun talking with him, and can't wait, for you guys to hear, and can't wait to talk to him again. So, all right, folks, well, here is follow us on Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality, Twitter @BlockbusterCast, go to BlockbusterMentality.com. All those places you can find the latest episodes and news on Blockbuster Mentality. All right, folks. Well, here's my conversation with Darren McCarty. Was any big fighters tonight?
Was WWE, so
or wrestlers, I should say.
RK Bro, the Randy Orton, the Riddles, all the WWE stuff. So, just if you're into that adult storytelling coming through town. So, I'm a big wrestling fan. I love all wrestling.
Yeah, that's so. I never got into that. Like I don't know if you've seen it, the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Like I love that movie. I never got into wrestling for some reason. I think my parents, first of all, didn't let me watch it when I was little, and then
I always say it's not right or wrong. Just tell me why, and that explains the why.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I love the whole entertainment aspect of it, and all that. Like now, ever since seeing The Wrestler, and whenever that came out, like I've appreciated it. I just never delved into it.
No, I mean, different strokes for different folks, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I no, that's awesome. It's awesome that are they always in Detroit, or is this a special event? Or
no, so the WWE, which is the billion-dollar promotion that just had WrestleMania, every Monday they have a USA Network show called Monday Night Raw that's across the world or whatever, and they switch towns, and it just so happens like probably every 4 months they're in Detroit with one of their shows, so this was one of the days. So
okay, gotcha.
So this is a special. It's not here all the time now. There's other independent wrestling. There's all different levels of wrestling and different independents that run, every other week or whatever like that. So, but this is the top of the food chain. This is the professional, the highest of the highs. WrestleMania, the Hulk Hogan's, all that stuff.
Are you into the new AEW at all?
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, all wrestling.
Yeah, just everything.
I don't see. Somebody asked me a question. What do I choose? AEW, WWE, and I told them. I said, why do I have to choose? I choose to be entertained.
Right.
I don't like it. I don't care what. It's not because I don't have brand alliance. I have I have content and storyline alliance. It's almost like it's like my movies or my TV shows or whatever. I gotta be invested, whether it's real or whether it's not.
No,
I don't care. If I don't like it, I ain't watching it. I'll turn off. I'll turn off anything I don't like.
Obviously grew up in Detroit. I live in Tampa now. Was wrestling a big thing?
Clearwater's my safe place. That's where I got sober. I lived down there for like between 2012 and 2018. I know the area really well.
Oh, wow. I wish I knew that. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm right here in Palm Harbor. You know Palm Harbor?
Oh, yeah. Real well. So, yeah. Yeah, we lived an island way for a while, and then we had my wife's family had a house in one of the suburbs up in Port Richey. So,
oh wow, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm very familiar with.
Look at that small world. We got people. You know, we're both familiar with Detroit. Familiar with. This, I think we're best friends now, is what I'm
going to...
I'm going to take from this that we're best friends now. Well, how you take from this, I don't care. I just know that I'm best friends with Darren McCarty now.
Now you're thinking like Darren McCarty.
I love it, man. Do you still get down here at all, or...?
You know what? I'm so busy with cannabis, but I think I'm supposed to be coming down in a few weeks, but my schedule always changes. I've been trying to get down this for 6 months.
Don't worry. I'm not going to say, hey, come visit me. I'm not that fucking creep,
No, I tell you, come and I'll be saying, meet me at Jimmy Hula's.
Ooh, now we talking.
In Clearwater. You ever been to Jimmy Hula's?
Yeah, I have. Oh man.
It's like,
small world. What has kept you in Detroit? I mean, obviously you played there for years and everything, but I know you're from Canada, but like why stay in Detroit?
Where I'm from is right across the border. So this outside Windsor. So I've lived over here since 92 and never went home.
Okay.
So
yeah, I mean that.
I'm American. I'm Canadian. I'm resident alien, whatever. Like this, what keeps me here is I have a band. I do comedy. I'm a cannabis brand. I have a WJR show Friday nights. I do Woodward Sports Network 11-1 daily. So between that, the stuff I do with the Wings. All the independent, the wrestling stuff that I do, and so I'm busy.
Yeah,
but it's all good. Everything I do is following a passion.
Yeah,
Chris Jericho sort of wrote the template of this, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to call him a friend, and he gives me good advice on different things. Cool that aspect.
He's a Tampa guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy keeps asking me to get him on the show, and I would like to. Like I said, I'm not really into wrestling, but I appreciate it.
He's such a forget the wrestling, dude. Like you're talking movies and stuff like this. He's such a savant on passions and all this stuff. Big into horror. He's such a, he's the one, he's as far as challenging or questioning, the why of everything. And it's okay to question the why, right? It's about, so you find out that, it's all about the team. Which team, different teams around you, like the same team, your, inner circle and stuff like that, and allowing him to be the best him, follow his passion. So that I'm just trying to, implement things like that. The reason how we get connected is, obviously you went through the right avenues. You got to Nick. So that's sort of like, everything that is going on up here. My whole thing, because my main focus is my cannabis brand and the CBD and the CBN for pain and for sleep and stuff like that. And, you know, my goal is to be able to have the brand everywhere, including Florida.
I'm curious, you know, obviously you said you got down here, got sober. So I assume sober, like from alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't had, so November 11th, 2015 is my sobriety date.
Nice.
And it took me, you know, I mean, 4 rehabs, $1 million worth of therapy, all this stuff. The beauty of the plant, that's why the plant saved my life. So I owe allegiance to the plant. I'll protect it just like I did my, people saw me protect my Redwood brothers. So
yeah.
This is more important because this is life or death.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's just the education, you know, a lot of it is the education, the lack of the, you know, the truth. You know, the being right. lied to, having an, you know, because the question that I ask is, do you know you have an option? You tell me yes, then we move on.
Right.
I say no, then I say that I explain to you so that you know you have an option, because I come from a place where I didn't know I had an option. I didn't think there was a way out. I'm lucky enough, got and, different plans.
I promise I'll get to the movie, you know, because I'm a movie podcast.
Bro. We can talk about whatever you want.
Bro. Okay, cool.
About
well, my thing is,
it's your podcast or whatever.
It's my world. It's my world. You're just living in it.
Well, see, there you go.
Well, yeah, my thing is, yeah. I mean, like, did you have a vice where alcohol made you more like, okay, I can be more sociable now, and you know, I, you know, can talk to people better, or was that not your thing?
Mine was more of sleep.
Okay.
So I couldn't pack.
Gotcha.
I couldn't shut it down. I'd be so wired and stuff like this that having the alcoholic gene and run through the family doesn't help. And the whole thing is like, dude, do you whatever you want, but it's when you can't get off that roller coaster ride or that tilt-a-whirl or whatever the hell it is, you know what I mean? It's when you want to get off, you can't. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's when you want to change. You know, like no, like do you, man? Like if you can drink and you can do that and party and do that and keep the balance, then do it. If you can't, you know, then there's sort of options, and you know, I'm grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've always struggled with just like social anxiety, and it's been
different things too. So you know, the plant can help with that too, you know, because of the anxiety and stuff, but even the CBDs. So for me, being an insomniac, the CBN in the plant, which is the sedative of the plant, so your body naturally, you know, your sleep, you get deep sleep, you get REM sleep. And you don't need as much of it, and it's just allowing your body to recharge. It's almost like plugging in a Tesla.
Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and then it's my job. It's my job, my responsibility to be as educated so that when the fucktards try to come at or whatever, they know. See, they already know not to come my way because they're in for a fight. I'm either here to answer your question or I'm here to fight you to the death about the plant. So, I mean, you know, why would you want to take that battle on? And then that's sort of, you know, leading by example and allowing, cause it's not about the person that knows, it's about the person that doesn't know or has questions that feel safe to explore their options without any, you know, without anybody's, you know, judging them or whatever else. Because at the end of the day, you know what? The biggest difference I tell everybody, and I just go by my experience and what I've learned is when you can master the fact, and I've come full circle on this from the opposite end, from having FOMO and, you know, everything like that, is when anybody else thinks about you, it's none of your business. You know, when you can own that, and really not care. You know, you hope something. So, because you'll change. You'll change if the people that you respect or whatever, if you do something wrong, we're human beings. But other than that, you know, do you. And I have that deep compassion for people who are true to themselves. I mean, even if you're an asshole, you know you're an asshole, okay. I mean, I respect that. I don't have to like you, but I can respect it.
I like that. You said what they think of you is none of your business. Is that what you said?
No. Yeah.
I love that. Business. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what, you know, they think that of me.
What does it matter at the end of the day? You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you got to live with you. There's another thing that I always say that I found out is that, you know, it's at the, no matter what, do not lie to the person in the mirror. If you can be honest with that person, no matter how shameful it is, and then that's a whole nother one about shame is just, that's shame is useless, because that was the biggest thing that I fought, you know, for my, and is the shame of supposed to be everything that everybody else wants you to be when you don't know who you are yourself. So, you know, like that segues into Kill Bill. because if you read the opening line of my book that I wrote down 10 years ago called My Last Fight, True Story of a Hockey Rockstar, it starts out with my life is like a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's fast forward, sometimes it's reverse, but it's always entertaining.
It's always entertaining.
There's always something. I have always connected with the eccentricness of Quentin Tarantino, because how he tells his story, really, I can relate to. Like, I follow it. You know, and I've never had a problem, even from Reservoir Dogs. And it's the dialogue also, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll sit there and I'll listen to Leo DiCaprio. You know, like, because the dialogue he takes uncomfortable, offensive things and he puts it in context.
Right.
You know, from even all those other movies, Inglourious Basterds, when you're talking about the Jew bear and
right.
stuff like this. But, you know, like that's why, and you know, for me, I can pick, you know, a lot of his movies that I love and Pulp Fiction and all this, but Kill Bill to me, because he understands that it's I love the fact that Beatrice is a female, the hero to the story is, because usually you get it the opposite way where it's all dudes and the dudes are fighting and whatever,
yes.
but it just it brought, and that's what made the violence so much more awesome.
Right.
Especially like the Vivica Fox fight and just everything, the crazy 88s and just the over the top old kung fu, the way that he just blends the spaghetti westerns with,
yeah,
because here's the thing, which correlates to what we're talking about wrestling. It's the storyline. The stories are so good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the uncomfortableness of, yeah, we're going to start this movie out. You know, not only with the horrific, we're going to like murder or put in a deep coma, you know, a pregnant woman on her wedding day, but we're also going to have a fucking hospital dude selling the truckers the coma broads to fuck them. And
right,
you know, like, I mean, here's the thing, you know, you don't think about that because it's like that, but that's like, if it's out there, that shit goes on.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Like, well, that's the thing that Quentin's not he's unapologetic, and I love him for it, is that because his story, because the context of the stories matter, right? It's just not out of context to where the story is. And I think that's what hooked you in, is just what a badass Beatrice was from day one. And never, because what he does is he doesn't play the victim.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, well, like and the victim plays real life and okay. So you're the victim. So now what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No one gives a shit. Everybody's got problems.
I love how you bring you know out, yeah, that it's.
And I guess for me, I got a little bit of a revenge thing in me because of, you know, the Lemieux thing. But I appreciate, I, you know, the old school, Old Testament.
Oh, we're going to talk about that, by the way. but no, are you wrapping up a body right now? Oh, okay. I saw you biting tape and I'm like, okay, this is a murder scene.
Are you there?
Yep. Yep.
All right. See, I can do that because we're best friends.
That's right.
So, I mean, you know, I mean? It's just like
I know
best friends just chopping it up about stuff. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. He's where home. He's home. He's home.
He's home.
Ooh, he's even got a poster of himself in his house.
I got that for my 30th birthday.
Well,
it's a six foot tall. And that's when we won the cup in 97. And I jumped in the penalty box on the glass. The guy in the yellow behind it is actually my neighbor. So,
well, I don't know if I should call you Mac, Darren.
You can call me whatever you want. Call me Mac.
Mac, I don't want to flatter you too much, but.
Give me my flowers.
I've had this since about when I was 12 years old. This is the jersey I wanted. Yeah, you've been my favorite player. I got it signed by
you did.
Not you, unfortunately.
Okay, we'll have to remedy that.
Yes, for sure. Right here we got Joey Koser.
It's a good one.
Yep. Right here, Aaron Ward.
Wardo, yep.
And then I got nacho cheese stains on it still. And then on the back.
Oh, then it's authentic, bro.
Yeah, that's right. And Kirk Maltby. Kirk Maltby right there. So are you still in contact with any of those boys?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them.
I see Joey the most.
Yeah.
Malt still works for the team. Joey's president of the alumni team. See Drapes all the time, but all of us are on a text thread and
yeah,
do a bunch of stuff with the Wings and stuff, so we see each other.
That's awesome. Yeah, just wanted to show you that I was the only kid in school who had the McCarty jersey, so
you've had common sense all your life, bro. I don't have to worry about you.
Right
I'm just working on the rest of it.
That's what I'm talking. So yeah, we'll intersperse hockey talk with Kill Bill talk, but I love what you said about the female thing. So like this is before woke culture. I want to hear your thoughts on woke culture a little bit. What are people too sensitive nowadays?
In my opinion, yeah.
Yes.
I grew up, I was raised differently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's principle. See, here's the one thing. I carry around accountability. I hold people accountable because I hold myself accountable now. So there's a lot of different things that old behavior doesn't, maybe I've done it before or whatever else, but it's not the person that I am now. So I lead by example and I hold people around me very accountable. Cancel call, you know, society's soft. I mean, it's the way it is. I mean, it's point the finger instead of pulling the thumb and looking to see what your part is. Everybody wants to blame everybody else. And I just think it is too sensitive. I think it's some of the things that by the men and women I was raised by who are no longer around are happy they're not around.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, because here's the one thing. I call it like I see it.
I'm most grateful for the millennial generation for bringing transparency of everything. That's why I'm alive, because of the cannabis. Now, they don't care what it is. It's got to be out in the open. And that's what, you know, technology, the fact that we're doing this Zoom right now, the fact that the connection not only to each other, but information can't be hid because people are looking. So it's all about, you know, I just want the truth, and I want everybody to be happy and live their best life and treat everybody with respect and do you. If I'm not doing it, then please do what you're going to do that I'm not doing twice as far away from me. Like I said before, I'm not here. I'm here to fight or answer your question. And the hardest thing, that I had to realize is I can't want it more than somebody else. And that's not being selfish, but you got to do the work. And I can give you the advice, but I got my own stuff to work on. But when I realized, somebody told me something very poignant. When all the time you're spending focusing on somebody that you want to get it that can't, you're ignoring the person behind you that is waving that they need your help and they want the answer. So that's where I'm very cut and dry on a lot of things. And so that's just the way that it has to be, because that's where I am now. So it's
right.
Life's a journey, bro. The destination's an oasis, and it's just enjoy the journey, the moments. So like these conversations.
Yeah. 100% agree. It's enjoy, you know, what we have now, and just
enjoy what you enjoy. Follow your passion, man. There's nothing like, I don't care if I like it or not, but I can see if I see somebody passionate about something, because I know what it's like to be passionate, and I know what it's like to follow your dreams and manifest your own reality. And I encourage everybody else to do it. The problem is, to answer your question, with the way that society is and how soft it is, it doesn't promote hard work.
Well,
right? It doesn't nurture hard work.
I've always
nurtures the easy way out.
I've always
life ain't about the easy way out. So you know, it's disappointing to me, just because the whole world went through something in COVID together.
Yeah,
and yet we still can't figure it out.
Right.
That's just sad. Still. It just makes me sad.
But I know it's
so
like we still are so divided.
So here's the thing. I just try to control my world.
Well,
you know, like you said, is that in my world and the people. So that's all you can do.
To bring up, you know, just the type of person you are. I mean, I just remember you always being the last person on the ice in warm-ups, giving pucks to kids. Like, you were always just there for people.
I always remember what it's like to be 12 years old. You go to a game, baseball, hockey, whatever. All you want is a puck or a ball or whatever like that. So I always remember that. And I think I gave out minimum 25 pucks each warm-up.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was my thing, and that was a connection. And to this day, that's why the power of the people, no matter who it is, right? That like I'm a battery, and the people are my power, you know, that have stood behind me in the, you know, I call it the wing wheeled nation, you know, that's looking everywhere. Now you're all grown up, got my jersey and stuff like this, but we've, you know, grown up together, experienced, you know, part of the journeys that they're intertwined. And look, and we're having this conversation with what, you know, something that you're passionate about now. That's what I love is you know, making these connections and then filling in the blanks about, you know, well, you know, you show me, I have your jersey, my jersey, you know, you tell me you got nacho cheese stains on it. I'm like, yeah, you should. I mean, it's like, if you were old enough, it should have beer stains on it. But you know what I mean? It's like, because that's, you know, part of who you are, and to be a part of that, I think that the connection's important, so important to me, to make people realize how much more alike we are and connected we are in certain ways. And if we can lead by example, doing little things like what we enjoy, you know, you asked me a question, we're talking about something that I'm passionate about, that, you know, that means a lot to me, even more so. And I think everybody's got either TV, movies, comic books. You know, we were talking wrestling earlier. You know, there's so many different things that like what you like. Music's the same way, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a connection, you know, to a lot of things. And I just love people who want to share that and want to learn, you know, learn things they don't. I love learning. I love learning things I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid to try anything.
And I just want, yeah, just anyone, yeah, just listening. Like, you can, like, again, this has come full circle to me. Like, I, you know, I never thought I would be speaking to you. And here I am speaking to you because I started something I was passionate about. And you just,
you're leading by example, bro.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
I mean, yeah, it's enough to bring me to tears. I won't do that right yet, but we'll get to that. Quentin Tarantino, I know you mentioned earlier, but why Kill Bill out of all the Tarantino movies did you pick to discuss?
I just think that the way... Yeah, a lot has to do with the heroine instead of a hero, right? The way that it sort of changed and sort of took the as gruesome and bloody and as violent and as revengeful because I think the connection is that revenge, sort of like what I with Lemieux, it doesn't have it's not just men that seek it,
right?
Know, or women or for different. You know, I really love the story, and I love the characters, all his characters. You know, like I'm a huge like B actor guy, like Tom Sizemore, Michael Madsen, those guys.
Yeah, yes.
You know, like I'm a huge Michael Madsen mark. You know, yeah. Like stuff like that. Daryl Hannah. You know what they did, just the way like the fight scenes. How they were all so violent, but so different, you know? And I love that. I love that, like I said, that old Kung Fu stuff or whatever it is. I love that stuff, you know? So yeah. Especially when the story makes sense. And I think just the way that the story was narrated, like I'll just throw on like fight clips or, just the way that that story is woven. And I think that it's one of those ones that you can watch over and over again because there's something new each time. There's something you pick out that you miss because there's so much.
Right.
And I think that goes for all Tarantino movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because this one starts off with, just a, you know, black and white shot of a bride getting shot in the head. Like
a pregnant bride.
A pregnant bride.
No. So, like, I mean, he pushes when you're talking soft culture or whatever before or whatever. But, I mean, because it wasn't, I don't know, what year did that come out?
2003 was volume one, 2004
so,
volume two.
Right, so
he considers
ago,
it as almost. One movie.
Right, yep. So 20 years ago, almost, right? And and when it came out, it was still acceptable.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and so what has changed?
Yeah. It's
I'm just saying it didn't make me want to go out there and murder a pregnant bride.
Right. Yeah,
but
exactly.
But it gave me the story of revenge and then how they did it. Because how they showed, and the best part too, we don't know her name. We don't know her name.
Yes, right.
She's
buried
alive.
Because that doesn't matter.
There's all these creatures. Her, she gets banged in a coma.
Yes. Because that doesn't... It doesn't matter.
He goes over the... Every movie, he'll go so over the top. It's almost like Family Guy, who, when they just keep the joke going and keep it going, or the commercial, you know, you like move on, and they do it on purpose where they just hold it. Right? He's like, you think that's the end? Boom. Let me throw another. Here's some ketchup. Oh, and some mustard. Oh, we need some sprinkles. Everybody loves chocolate sprinkles. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't care.
Right.
And here's the thing. It might be offensive to somebody, whatever like that, but if in the whole context of it, it goes along. You know, you look at Pulp Fiction. You know, I mean, one of the most, like, Marcellus Wallace, you know, with the hillbillies at the pawn shop, you know, where Butch has to save him so with he can, gimp. You know, get whatever like that. But, you know, like, but it served its purpose. I guess it was just to get the lines. We're going to get some brothers and get some blowtorches and go to work, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like it, the unit, like we were mentioning Glorious Bastards. So I think that just the way that it tied it in and made it, I don't know. It's just so complex, the Uma Thurman character of resilience and just like, I mean, it's almost like it's the realism. I mean, I don't want to sound like I know that it's not real. And when the, you know, the massacre scene with the crazy 88s, and that's,
yes,
you know, outrageous, but that's the way it's supposed to be. But all the other storylines with all the other girls, with
right.
All, and then, you know, eventually with, you know, Carradine and stuff like that. Like it all, I'm a wrestling guy. Storylines is my thing. Tarantino storylines are always spot on.
Well, and that's what, you know, kind of how I go back to woke culture. Like, it's a movie about a woman just getting revenge, and the revenge is on women. It's on men. Whereas today, I feel like if the movie came out, it would be, oh, this is women against men. Like, you know, it's obviously the movie's called Kill Bill, which is a man, but, you know, she's not only giving the revenge on him.
But is she not justified?
Oh, absolutely. She's justified. You know, she's I love that line from Michael Madsen where, you know, he says, I think in both parts or whatever, I count them as one movie. You know, she deserves revenge. We deserve to die, you know, and that's he knows and he's right. Like, she deserves her revenge and we deserve to die. And, you know, it's just so beautiful. And Michael Madsen is just so, so precise in, you know, what he does. And,
So, there's so many things, right, to the character develop, you know, all of the different characters, you know, from the characters that don't even have lines, they're in the background. You know what I mean? Like, to just the realism of, I mean, the pussy wagon.
Yes.
I mean, come on, man.
Like, right.
I mean, it's just like, that's, to me, that's that, like, it's that, those blaxploitation films crossed with spaghetti westerns, crossed with kung fu movies, crossed, you know, but crossed with the believable story or based on historical story, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's there's so many genres, you know, mixed in here. And Tarantino is just a genius with what he does. I mean, even the, you know, the soundtrack, you know, it's like,
soundtrack really is the soul of all the movies.
Yeah.
And you know, you go back to Reservoir Dogs and, and I mean, just the way that he incorporates the mood,
like, right, yeah,
he's so unbelievable, you know, like, it's his vision, he's already had it played in his head and he's just bringing it out for us. Like, it's never like, hey, let's try this. To me, it's always like, all right, so he's gonna do this and then it's gonna do that and then it goes like this and then after that, after that, and he already knows the way it plays out. Now it could change a little bit, but no, that story's, it's just, you know, he's narrating it as he goes. He knows every part. Like, you watch the behind, like, he knows everybody's lines. He knows everybody's role because it's like a photographic memory, but it's a creative photographic where he just spills it out and it's already there.
One, I love him. Like, he makes his actors, you know, basically come up with a backstory for their characters.
And it's brilliant because it's with the, you know, Reservoir Dogs and the poker. I mean, the sitting around the table.
Yeah.
Giving guys the names and stuff like that and the backstories. And, like, I mean, the conversations are just, you can listen to any of his movies and just get into the conversation loops.
Yeah, the dialogue is brilliant. Yeah, like Reservoir Dogs talking about, you know, Madonna, Like a Virgin. Like a Virgin is about a guy with a big dick, you know? It's
I don't tip, man.
Yeah, don't
believe
in it.
Don't tip. I just love that. Like you said, the backstory of it, like the Steve Buscemi character is just so convincing and he's such a dick.
Absolutely. And, but Kill Bill, it's just an ultimate, you know, revenge story. I mean, yeah.
And the deaths too, right?
Yeah.
Like just the kills are always great.
Well, because
even until the five finger at the end when the finale, but the snakes. The blind, the cobras, the blind eye, the blind,
right.
You know, knock the other eye, like just different stuff. Like the fight scene in the house, in the residence, you know, in the suburbia with Vivek A. Fox. I mean, it's just, you know,
it's to
the contrast of the white and the black versus the yellow in the fight scene, you know.
I mean,
it's just crazy.
I know. I love the different, you know, colors he uses. I know he had to use black and white because the MPAA said he had to, because otherwise it would be like rated NC-17. He had to tone down the blood, you know, for this.
And you can see why.
Yeah, well, definitely.
It almost makes it better.
Yeah. It makes it more stylistic.
You don't lose the graphic, or you don't lose the vibe of what's going on.
Yes,
at all.
Absolutely. And And in volume one, at the same time, like we first see her killing, you know, Vivica A. Fox, but that's not the craziest fight. Like she actually kills Lucy Liu before she kills Vivica A. Fox. And that's
the snow too.
Right.
The contrast of the snow, the white.
Yeah.
Swords,
oh, beautiful. And I just read today that, Lucy Liu says something about, like, it'll take you, you know, you don't have 5 minutes left worth of energy. And like, the actual movie goes 5 minutes from the time she says that to where she cuts her scalp off, and it's exactly 5 minutes. Like Tarantino. Oh,
see, that's what I'm talking. See, that's what I'm talking about.
He's so precise. Like, and then what I love about Tarantino is he loves movies. Like, and he references it. Like he has, you know, when Bill, you know, we find out he's with Uma Thurman's daughter, you know, and they're watching movies, and it's obviously a movie Tarantino probably grew up with, and it's just.
But he always brings back the human side, even to the most deadliest, biggest badasses, right? He'll bring some sentiment to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, because I mean, Bill. Yeah, I mean. He has them do just like the most human things, but yet you're intimidated. Like you have Bill, you know, this is volume two. Again, Tarantino, by the way, includes volume one and two as one movie. So
do I.
Me too. It's like, why wouldn't it be? Like just him when she gets to Bill finally and, you know, they're with their daughter and he's cutting the sandwiches and he's slowly like licking off the mustard and mayonnaise from his, his thumb. It's just like, it's so meticulous and exact that it's just like, it builds the tension, you know, it's like he's cutting the crust off of his daughter's sandwich with a huge ass knife. Like, and it just builds the tension. Like Tarantino's the man. All right.
That's it, you know? Buddy. You and I agree.
It's just, oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm so glad you picked this movie because it's brilliant. And then, yeah, Daryl Hannah's character with the one eye, and, you know, when she has to come back and fight the bride, Uma Thurman, and she gets her other eye taken out and smashed. It's just, yeah, there's just so much to this movie. It's just brilliant. Brilliant. all right, we can talk about hockey now. and I'm sorry, it's already 12:21. I won't keep it too much later. Yeah. do you have any other thoughts on Kill Bill? I mean, it's just
I just think, you know, like, there's something to it with the way, and you have to watch them as one, but I think it takes a lot of all of his other movies and what he did to them. But this one, like I said, it's just a little bit different.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a little bit different. And I don't like, I love, you know, that Django and Glorious Bastards and stuff like that, because they're the same sort of, he uses the same recipe, but to this one, it just had everything. In Kill Bill, I was never in the Kill Bill series. I was never uncomfortable, right? And on the other ones, in the other movies, whether it was the cut off of the ear, whether it was a homosexual scene, whether it was the language in Django, whether it was the gruesome reality, the Jew bear, or what they did. This one I didn't, and that ties it back around to this one. I never felt bad about, you know, anything that happened. It was just a good movie. You know what I'm saying? Every event, no matter who was going to get it, no matter how they were going to get it, even to the fact when she's getting buried alive and just what, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just had that, it had that superhero Tarantino heroine. You just, the more you learn about Beatrice and a lot too is what's her name. You know what I mean? It's just, to me, it just ties everything.
Yeah.
It ties everything that I love about Tarantino together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you can see his love of Kung Fu, like even as the callbacks when, you know, she's learning, you know, she's training with the, Asian, hey. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, wait,
punching, wait, you know, punching 3 inches, you know, ahead and, you know, and he's constantly doing his beard, and they do like that quick flash forward and slow motion. It's like, obviously he's taking references from old Kung Fu movies, and I love that about him. I love that about Tarantino. He's a movie lover, and he includes things he loves in previous movies in his movies, you know. It's like,
absolutely,
why not, you know? So yeah, it's just so great, and so glad you picked this one. Before we get going, I mean, again, you've not to be too corny, but you've been a part of my life for a long time, Darren.
Mac, how old are you now?
I'm 33.
Makes sense, dude. Wheelhouse age. You're 8 years old in 97.
Yeah, 90s. So. That's when I started loving sports. 96 we lost to
Colorado.
Colorado in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started loving sports. Was that moment, and then ever since then that's what got me into it. What are your thoughts on hockey today? Like, you know, there's less enforcers, there's not much fighting. Like, Let's be honest.
It's all about account. Remember, I said accountability. There's none. You're accountable to your paycheck, and there's no accountability to each other. It's not my game. It's a rule different. My game size mattered. This game speed matters. But in saying that, the thing that bothers me, and it's not fighting and whatever else, it's the lack of respect that guys have for each other because they don't have to. And it's just different. It's entertaining. It's a world game now. So
yeah,
the Red Wings will be back. You know, Steve Eisenman will get them there, and it just takes time, 3 or 4 more years probably. But we're on our way. But again, you know, I can help everybody with my experience, and I think the mentality of the game and how to be a winner, champion and different things that I've learned off the ice just to be a better professional, I can help with. As far as like the game itself, not my game, bro. So that's, you know, but like I said before, I still involved with the Red Wings and different things like that, but I'm here as to help these young guys any way that I can, but also too is the connection between the fans and the team.
I mean, is that why you got into the game in the first place? Was the physicality of it?
Yeah. I love being a part of a team and the common goal. And I realized that, you know, I'm a protector and I didn't mind doing that when it meant, like, here's the thing. If it's about me, I'll either self-destruct or I won't care. You know, you got to push me to a point. But if it's about somebody else, then you see how I react. I mean, it's just like that's just how I'm, you know, wired. So, I grew up a Red Wings fan, and you know what? That was in the I grew up a Red Wings fan, so I grew up during the Dead Wing age. But since Steve Eisenman got there, and then Bob Probert and stuff, I always wanted to make it to the NHL and play for the Red Wings, and you know, win a Stanley Cup and help those guys. I want to be Robin to Bob Probert's Batman, and you know, so that's what I say is like manifest your reality. And if you're willing to work at it, it didn't come easy, but nothing worth doing does. You know, you got to work, and it's what you put in to get out.
Yeah.
What did you put in to get out?
Yeah. Did you ever fight Bob Probert?
I did when he was in Chicago. It wasn't okay. Much of a fight. It was sticking up for Stevie, but
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you do. Yeah, again, file that under embrace the suck. Things you do that you don't want to do. I fought Joey Kosher too when he was with New York. And he broke my helmet with a punch. Again, things you do because you don't want other people to do.
So, I mean, what is it? Are they just worried that concussions will happen and, you know,
no,
people get too hurt?
Like, the game, it's gotten faster and I don't know. It's not concussions from fighting because you can get concussions from hitting, you know, more so and stuff. So it's just the evolution of the game. They're going more, you know, to speed and trying to take, you know, that aspect out of the game. So I don't, you're asking the wrong guy.
I am asking
like,
the
no,
only
because
guy.
I don't care enough. I don't care enough.
To even ask,
like that'd be an Eisenman question or a Draper question or something. That's just, you know, that's just me. You know what I'm saying? Like I had to come to a point to accept to be able to watch it, that it wasn't my game and stuff. So I don't complain about it.
What's the most pissed you ever got at Scotty Bowman?
No, you get pissed at Scotty because he didn't give you power play time or maybe, you know, your ice time or whatever. But here's the one thing is that you realized is that he's like the greatest chess player, Kasparov or Bobby Fischer. He's always 5 moves ahead of you. So when you realize that his motivation is to collect Stanley Cup rings, you get in line and say, you know what, I guess, you know, if this – if it's my turn and this is the benefit to winning, then you accepted it, and we all did. So it was I'm fortunate because Scotty told me that I was his second favorite right winger ever to play for him next to Guy Lafleur. So I got that going for me.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment.
That's
wow.
a good one.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was your most what are you more satisfied with? Your game-winning goal in the 97 playoff, in the 97 Stanley Cup victory, the game-winning goal against Niemi, what Niemi was that his name?
No,
or
Yanni Niemi, a one-on-one scored the yeah. cup clinching goal. In
so
97.
So that was that more satisfying, or your fight with Claude, or your massacre against Claude?
Well, that. It goes to the March 26th Sweet Revenge game, but the caveat is I scored the overtime winner. So I got the revenge, and I scored the winner. So that's the fact that right then at the end of that game, Wing Wheel Nation, no matter how old you were, it was proverbial. It's going to be all right. Don't know what it means. It's going to be all right. Four cups later, but that's the one because historically, you know, it sort of got the ball rolling and led to the next.
That's what I was hoping you would say, because, you know, you guys were going to win the cup anyway when you scored that goal in the final, you know? So it was like, you know, obviously it was great. You know, you got the game winner, but like the Claude Lemieux and
well,
you
the
scoring
catalyst,
the overtime.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, yeah.
So absolutely. Without Kill Bill 1, there's no Kill Bill 2. So without
right.
26, there's
yes.
no June 6th.
Yes, absolutely. And then a couple more real quick before I let you go. I'm so sorry for keeping you so long.
No, you're just going to have to beat the, I think I got 3%, so fire away.
All right. Thoughts on Sergei Fedorov? And
love
him.
Love him. Should have his jersey retired. He was just misunderstood. Sergei was more of a guy that looked around and would be like, oh, wow, look at all the talent in this room. You know, they don't need me. When it'd be like every time we said, hey, Serge, a little help over here. He's like, oh, okay, guys. Awesome teammate, awesome human being. Hopefully his number gets retired soon.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Has anyone worn your number since?
Yeah, Mike Green, Corey Emerton.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think
okay.
Taro Hirose's wearing it now.
Sean Avery, what were your thoughts on him? Did you guide him at all?
I love Sean Avery. I think that what happened to him is when you live with Brett Hull and Chris Chelios your first year, reality to, I guess, the way that there's a certain way things are done, and Sean's always thought that his way was the best. So, I mean, we understand each other, we get along, but you know what, Sean, and you know the thing is that he's gonna say and he's gonna do whatever, and he'll stand behind whatever he is. So he'd be a great heel in wrestling.
I bet. Yeah, he was like the hope after, you know, the grind line and stuff, like, oh, we got another enforcer, and then yeah, it was but yeah, I mean, I think the Red Wings got, you know, they got a lot of good young players right now, and I you know, they're doing a lot better than they did, you know, the last couple years, and it's
yeah, slowly but surely. It's
yeah,
just,
exactly.
Building.
Like I said, I've been here in Tampa. Yzerman built up the Lightning, and you know, I've been rooting for the Lightning unless they're playing the Red Wings. Yeah, I'm hoping Yzerman can.
He's gonna do the same thing, bro.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So, and then any thoughts? Shanahan, is he cool?
He's president
as I think
of
he
Toronto.
Is?
That's Toronto's only hope in ever winning. So.
Yeah, is he as cool as I hope he is? Is he
yeah.
a night? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Shan, we call him Shan Diggity.
Yeah. Okay.
He's so cool.
Let me
yeah,
go,
he's
Ben.
A great
right.
teammate. Great mentor.
Oh.
Just a solid dude.
Whatever happened to John Wharton?
Not sure.
Okay. Yeah, because you weren't you in his band or what? You guys were in a band?
I have the band, bro.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah,
All right.
It's my band, and he was never near my band.
Okay. I will not
talk about it. This is bad journalism.
You don't like him?
I said that's bad journalism.
I know, but you don't like him?
Let's just say that
I can cut whatever you want out.
We don't see eye to eye on some things.
Gotcha. All right. And then one last thing. No, that's actually all. All right, cool. All right. No, you coming back in 08.
Yeah.
Was amazing. You got, like, again. I love that. Like, that was just amazing that you came back in 08. Like, that was when I first moved to Florida, kind of. A couple years after I moved to Florida, and like you were back, and like we won the cup, and it was just like, oh my God, this is just my amazing.
Yeah,
so maybe you could come back now and we could win again.
Not a chance, bro. not a chance. We're on to other things.
Do you ever skate around still?
We're trying to be the first athlete to win cannabis cups and Stanley Cups. So we're working on that.
You still skating around still? Do you ever play?
We play alumni. Joey Kosher is the president. We play about 10 games a year.
So. Over 30, right?
It's alumni. So we do it for charity.
Over 30.
I'm 50, so I don't know.
I know. I was trying to be, it was a joke.
I was trying to be. Listen, dude, I need your help to say that I'm 50 and I announce it out there that everybody who owes me money that I wouldn't make it to 50. Tell them to pay up. You get a cut. You get 20% if you collect.
Darren, before your battery dies, it's been a dream come true talking to you. Like, honestly, I almost was brought to tears tonight. Like, I honestly, I've had this jersey, I've kept it for years. I wear it as my good luck charm, even in my fat ass self, like when the Ravens are in the playoffs. See,
if anything else to you and everything that's the motivation behind I'm a battery. You guys are my power. You know what I mean? So just know that no matter good, bad, right, wrong, that, I see you. You know, it's the John Cena. Like, I don't care. You see me. I see you. You know, and I appreciate it. And you know what? Like, that's the one thing is where I'm at in my life right now. You know, to try to do my part and to make, you know, the people that I don't even know until like today where we met or stuff like that. So if you're an example of how the people that I don't get to meet out there, but I want them to know also too that D-Mac loves you.
Well, that was Darren McCarty, folks. His battery died. It was just great talking with him. He's been a inspiration to me basically my whole life, and it was an honor to speak with Darren McCarty, Detroit Red Wings alum. And so glad I got to speak with him, and sad his battery died, but you get what he was trying to say. All right, folks. Well, that is it for me. Follow us on Instagram at BlockbusterCast, Twitter at Blockbuster. Wait, no, Twitter at BlockbusterCast. Instagram at Blockbuster Mentality, blockbustermentality.com is where you'll find the most recent updates and episodes and all that. That is it for me, folks, for Darren McCarty. I'm Ben, and as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys at the movies.